morning, everybody. Okay, we're in the Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Yud Zayin. The title of this Perek, the issue that he is addressing in this Perek, is why was the Torah not given to the Avos? Why did Matan Torah wait until the Jewish people, as a people, as a nation, stood at Har Sinai? Here in his further analysis, development of the nature of Torah, right, this is the question which he wants to deal with. Now, this question, you understand, now at this particular point, at this particular juncture in our learning, looms especially large as a consequence of what he discussed in the last perek. You remember, just briefly, that the last perek was dedicated to the Maral's bases for Torah min Hashamayim, for the divinity of Torah. And as you recall, the Maral did not set about trying to prove Torah min Hashamayim as Torah min Hashamayim is usually tried to be proven. Usually, what people will do to try to prove Torah min Hashamayim, you know, significant body of work, is going to be looking at the details of the specific book that we have that's called Torah, and trying to show that there's no way that this could have been written by anybody other than a divine source. Whether it's going to be because, oh, there were 600,000 people that saw Hashem communicate to Moshe Rabbeinu and give this over, whether it's going to be because of this nuance that it says in Parshas Shmini about kosher animals and non-kosher animals and split hooves and subsequent research amongst the species of animals, whatever it's going to be, it's usually looking at the specifics of the Torah and trying to prove from the specifics of the Torah that this must be divine. You know, some prophecy that's written in the Torah that ended up being fulfilled, that we had it, there's no way it could have been written by human hands. The Maral's approach is fundamentally different. He does nothing to prove in this discussion that this particular Torah that we have is divine. His was a conceptual approach, kedarko, as is his habit. And the idea was, the way he said it, we had three different elements to it, but Torah is so fundamentally the completion of Seder Ha'olam, of the way the world needs to be. It's so fundamentally the completion of Seder Ha'adam, of how a man becomes more complete, the seichel, the understanding of a person. Torah is that fundamental connection between man and God. It's the word of Hashem that is given to us that creates that connection, that without it, where's your world? Without it, where's the tachlis, where's the completion of the world, where's the continuation of the world that you have built? You know, it's like you give the person the car, and you neglect to tell him anything what he has to do in order to be able to maintain it, right? And all the other stuff that we talked about around that. So that was the Maral's general thing. Hashem had to give instructions. He had to give the connection. He had to grant the connection between us and him. He had to give what we call the Torah. That was the Maral's proof of Torah HaShemayim, which begs a question. And that question is, if that's the case, wasn't that true in the year zero? Wasn't that true right away at the moment of creation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have just given it all, right? If you're going to be approaching Torah min Hashamayim, it's just, okay, I can prove to you that Hashem gave it, you know? So, okay, whenever Hashem chose to give it, He gave it. But if your proof of Torah min Hashamayim is that there has to be a Torah min Hashamayim, that you can't have, it doesn't make sense with the whole enterprise of Bria, of creation of the world, to have a world without a Torah that's communicated by Hashem. So what was he waiting for? Why did he wait for the completion of Bria in order to make it happen? That's the question which the Maral has to address in this perek. Given the predicates that he established in the previous perek, we have to now understand this issue. Okay? So, in the way of the Maharal, he gives the answer in 1 second, but then he says, but you haven't finished your munchkins yet, so let me explain it. Okay? He says, Maharal says, the answer is like this. Al tshuva zeh eino rechayka mimenu klal. The answer here is not remote at all. Achar shizbor b'prokim ha-kaidvim. Ki ha-Torah zayis bilti mukhan me'elav ki'im Yisrael. I'm just going to read here a couple of lines. That he says the Torah is for the Jewish people. We explained before the Torah is for the Jewish people. That the Torah really only works for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are the ones who are shayach, who are connected, who have the potential for that divine peace to incorporate within themselves. That is the Torah, and therefore, you can't have the Torah until you have Klal Yisrael.
Wasn't that a priori not the way it was? That only originally Adam Rishon was supposed to get the stuff, and even the Dor HaMavon, Dor HaFlaga, had the potential to get it, and they didn't get it.
Okay.
And then only that they had the races over by Avraham Avinu, and he was the only one who had the Sharashim, and the rest of them, that's it.
Excellent, Rabbi Friedman, the Talmud fracked good. I want to acknowledge Rabbi Friedman, Rabbi Eliezer Friedman from Montreal, who
the Rebbe had this kind
of. Okay, so thank you for the question. You see, what Michael's asking is, one second, was this plan A? Was this plan A that the Torah was supposed to be given to the Jewish people?
No.
Right. So, and with more elaboration. Now, the truth is that right here is a place to talk about other approaches to this question. Maral's approach, as we just gave you the abstract of the Maral's approach, you know, the one line thing, Klal Yisrael is the one who can have the Torah, and therefore we need to wait for Klal Yisrael to have the Torah. The Maral really approaches it straightforwardly that way, not incorporating the kind of thinking that you spoke about, that we're going to just bring some Makairis, some sources that give a different perspective here than the Maral before we go on to him. Maral's idea is the Torah needed Klal Yisrael, and the Torah had to wait, therefore, for Klal Yisrael to come into the stage of existence that it did in order for it to be brought. And therefore, it wasn't ready by Adam HaRishon, and it wasn't even ready by Avram Avinu. It was only ready when there was going to be something called Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
How is Klal Yisrael different from the 12 Shvatim? I can understand why the Torah wouldn't have been given to the Avraham, because there needs to be a call. But once Yaakov Avinu has his sons and they become the Shvatim, isn't that enough of a call?
Okay. Excellent question. Mir Hashem, as we go along, we will touch upon it. The Maral does not fully discuss that here, but it's part of the Maral's work to explain why it had to wait till Yitzias Mitzrayim Mamad Har Sinai, and it wasn't there with Yaakov. But let's hold on to that. Hold on to that. Another very good point. Yeah.
So, are we saying that the Maral disagrees?
Yeah.
That this is Plan B.
The Maral does seem to disagree that it is Plan B. What is the other approach? What's the classic approach? So the classic what's the kind of approach that Michael was addressing? So one place where it's expressed very clearly is in the Chavis Halvavis. And again, and it's a classic approach expressed as such by the Chavis Halvavis. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvarav.
Amen.
Chavis Halvavis in the Shara Prishus, Perek Zayin, writes as follows. Ha-hefer shebein kad v'inenu v'inenu b'prishus. And speaking about Prishus, Prishus is, we usually translate it as some form of asceticism, a person being separated from the material, from the physicality of this world. And the Chavis Halvavis here is writing about how there was a gradual change in mankind in terms of the level of enmeshed this engagement, you know, real connection to physicality. Because the difference between the old days and the new day and our days is that Chanoich, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Iyoy, Vareyov, right, dealing with some names from the past, why he chooses Chanoich and Noach specifically of all, he has to be about Shem, I don't know, you know, whatever. See, that this is his partial list. Their mind, their understanding was clear, and their yetzer and their drive, meaning here their drive for other things, was weak. Their souls were really motivated and influenced and pulled by their seichel, by their objective wisdom, by their higher drives. V'ama'at min ha-mitzvahs hayo maspik lohem. Says the Chayvus Halvavus, they only needed a few mitzvahs to keep them, so to speak, straight. The emunah, which was so strong in their heart, and the mind, which was so clear, all it needed was a couple of things. As it says by Avram Avinu, U'matzasas levavei ne'eman lefanecha. V'loi hayu tzrichim el aprishus hayaitis mi'aderach hashava hatayriya. Says they didn't need any kind of an extreme. They were able to just go pretty straight, because naturally, they were, not naturally, but just their general makeup was one of connectedness to that which was of value, to the seichel, to the neshama. When the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim and they were there for 70 years of plenty, the first 70 years the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, when Yosef was alive, they were the family of the king. They had it all. Those weren't the good years in Egypt. Those were the bad years in Egypt, says the Chayvus Halvavus. Those were the years where we started to get into the Egyptian stuff. That was the years when the shtufei tava, we'll use that expression because the Jewish people didn't become shtufei zima, but they became very involved in a world of Egypt. Their tivus, their desires, their physicality got stronger. V'gavar yitzram al sichlam. That was when it became necessary, says the Chayvus Halvavus. Nitzdarchu min aprishus al mashi hefech tavas al yamid keneged yitzram. Then they needed already more defined, more extreme rules to separate things out. And so Hashem gave them additional mitzvahs. And mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, the mitzvahs which are in Eretz Yisrael, so the Chayvus Halvavus has a unique interpretation of mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, but he says when they come into Eretz Yisrael, v'nichnesu ba v'snamu betuva, and they started to enjoy the sweetness of the good of Eretz Yisrael, v'ikshu amozayim v'asamuch lehim imayisim achlo mitzvah mishkol abinyan, they wanted more, they're building their own land. Now they need even more. You know, in Golis, Jews running around, never building their own country, so necessarily they have to build intellectual structures. Right? They're going to be necessarily somehow removed from physicality, not by their choice. Chayvus Halvavus was never here. Right? He was never here. But he says, but in Eretz Yisrael, where the mandate includes the physical building of the land, so here the Chayvus Halvavus says what is considered one of the most famous quotes from the Chayvus Halvavus, which is, "Kol asher naisva ha'aretz yishuv naisva ha'seichel churban." The more that the land gets settled, the more that the seichel, the more that the clear, objective mind breaks down. There's an inverse relationship between physical strength, the strength of physicality, I should say, and the strength of the objective intellectuality, the objective spirituality. They're inversely related. And therefore, says the Chayvus Halvavus, when they come to Eretz Yisrael and they're going to be having their land and involved in agriculture and building, they have to have a new layer of mitzvahs. That's a very, very unique pirush from the Chayvus Halvavus. Of course, generally speaking, the picture of mitzvahs hatliyas baretz is going to be because of the kedusha of the land. So there's more to deal with. There's more to deal with in terms of the things which grow from the ground than there is in chutz laretz, where the land is desolate. But the general approach of the Chayvus Halvavus is the one which is taken by many others, which is Torah being taught to the Jewish people as the 613 mitzvahs, as such, became necessary over time because we didn't have it as naturally as the ones before us had it. Avram Avinu, Chazal tell us, he knew Torah intuitively. He kept the Torah before it was given. Right? Shtei Kol Yosef, his kidneys, taught him Torah the way Chazal say. Meaning again, intuitively, he understood and he knew the Torah. Over time, we lost that intuition. To know intuitively, or to more accurately, to hear what your neshama is telling you, to hear it clearly, without static, to know what to do, like they did once upon a time, that ability became lost. Remember, I've told you many times, I've referred you many times to what the Meir Simcha, what the Meshech Chachma says beautifully in Parshas Nitzavim, where he says, when the Pasuk says, Ki ha-mitzvah azayis asher anaychi mitzavcha ayayim, the mitzvah I'm giving you to the Torah, it's not far from you, it's not in the heavens, it's not overseas. Ki karev eilecha adavar ma'ayid b'fichu b'vav chasayis. It's so close to you, it's in your mouths and in your hearts to do it. Says, so Meshech Chachma has there this beautiful essay about this thing. He says, we're programmed. We have an neshama. We know Torah. Torah is ours from the beginning of time. The problem is that as we got complicated, we got complicated. We don't hear anymore. We have too many other arguments for our attention, vying for primacy, and they make us think about things differently. And so we needed a voice from the outside in order to be able to hit us and say, no, that's really what it is. That's really what it is. So that's one school, a significant school of perspective, that this is the way it was supposed to be. Now we also allude to the idea, what Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, that plan A was that everybody should have the Torah. Right? But then when Adam HaRishon sins, mankind fell, they marched out of Gan Eden. So Hashem said, let me see, some of you are going to be trying to be marched back towards Gan Eden. Okay, I put up those angels with flaming swords, right, to stop people from just walking in and into Gan Eden. But there's still, Eitz Chaim Ila Machazikim, but there's still, I got to want to find people who are waiting at the entrance, you know, for the golden tickets, you know, to be able to get in there. Only Avraham Avinu did. Right? Only Avraham Avinu did. Okay, so therefore that happened. You know, Hashem was waiting. Right, there was an original plan. Perhaps that it would have been, you know, ready to go right away. Maral is certainly not emphasizing that, not taking that tack over here. Although that particular approach could be reconciled, I believe, much more with the Maral than the approach of the Chavis Halvavis. I think the Maral is definitely not like the Chavis Halvavis, and Mirat Hashem will see in a few Prakim, the Maral addresses what it means that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah before it was given. Yeah.
Avraham's QB is 613, I suppose. Okay, so if Chavos HaLevavos is saying that things got more complicated through the process of going down to Mitzrayim, wouldn't that?
Yeah, I'm sorry, excuse me. The Chavos HaLevavos does not emphasize that statement of Chazal. So you have these different pictures here together. Chavis HaLevavos' idea is that, you know, the goal of Torah, which is that the person should be connected to the truth, to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the neshama should be mizdavik b'makar dile, with that the soul should be attached to its source, to the chelek elokam imal, Avraham Avinu had that. You know, whenever we speak about Torah, earlier versions of Torah, the Torah preceded the world by 974 generations. Right, what does that mean? The Malachim said, give us the Torah. Right? So Moshe was the one who had to tell them, but it says in the Torah, don't steal and you don't have to steal. I mean, what were they talking about? They're talking about the truths of Torah, the essence of Torah. And the essence of Torah, of course, is Shayach to the Shemayim. Of course it could go to the angels. What Moshe Rabbeinu said was, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing in giving the Torah down here. He's taking the Torah and he wants to bring it to the earthly realm, right? Which is a different version of it. So Avraham Avinu, when we speak about Avraham Avinu keeping the Torah before it was given, of course there's a level in which, of course, even Chazal speak about it in technical matters. And, right, this past week's Parsha, Vayika chema v'chalov uven ha-bokar asher osa. He took the milk and the cream and the cattle that he made and he gave it to the guests. Oh, so everybody, okay, well, what's going on over here? Milchigs, fleishigs, right? You know, it was Pesach. What's going on? Was it the lechem? You know, somebody was bringing me yesterday a proof that Avraham Avinu didn't keep gebrochts, right? You know, it was like, oh, you know, amelan shel tabochim, because they put the dough on top of the pot. You know, get a life. You know, So of course there's a level on which we say, okay, all the particulars. I don't know that the Chavos HaLevavos goes there. To him, Avraham Avinu's Torah before it was given was his neshama was pure and real and true and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we need. Later, it takes more complicated steps in order to restore that, in order to be able to get back to that. Now, you know, the Meshech Chachma is much, it takes it much more straightforwardly. Yeah, all the elaborate proofs of the elements of the truth of the Torah, a person would have had instinctively. So there are variations on the theme. But the theme is that man as he was made should have it. But you understand that this is, again, consistent with the Maharal's approach, why he has to deviate from this. I'll take your question in a minute. This is a consistent with this approach, because remember, what did we learn about last week? He said, oh, so you told me that a person has to have the Torah for its, you know, for his shleimus. But who says that there has to be Torah in HaShemayim? Who says Hashem has to speak to you? Maybe we just understand it. Right? Maybe it's intuitive. Maybe we can figure it out with our own seichel. Right? Remember, Maral asked that question? And he said, no, that can't be, because then it wouldn't be coming from Hashem, it would be much more the person. He had different approaches, aspects, to explain why that couldn't be. To him, it was necessary that there had to be a tzivui, there had to be an instruction. And yes, in the Adam Arishan version, remember that beautiful piece that we did at the end last week, where he went through the hours of the day, all the different stages of creation, and it was developing man higher, and what was the consummate stage before the ninth hour when the day starts to wane was Nitztaveh. That was when he got the mitzvah. That's the ultimate. So then when Mitzvah HaTorah come along at Har Sinai, that's going to be the ultimate. All we have about how Avram naturally knew, that's no substitute for what the Maharal is looking for. That indeed waited for Klal Yisrael. So you see the different pieces of his perspective feed, you know, this different approach. Yeah.
I think you may have answered this in the clarification. So, not sure how much I say this, but it seems like what the Maharal is saying is that the Torah that we got was the Yadav, in a way. And so.
Not the Maharal, the Chavis Havavas, you mean?
Chavis saying. Okay. So if that's the case, I'm just curious, and I think you touched on it, but my understanding is that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world, right? So are you saying what you said a few minutes ago, Hashem looked into the Torah in its essence?
Yes.
And created the world, but the document that we have in front of us was not, it wouldn't necessarily have the same letters and be in the same, you know, structure, broken up in the same way?
That's the general approach which is taken to that kind of a question. Okay? In other words, to that kind of an issue, is that, again, it's the general essence of the Torah and otherwise. Now, there are other approaches to it. You know, some will say Yistakel b'Yiraisu Bara Alma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and he designed the Chazer around the Torah. You know, around the fact that it's supposed to be this way. Again, it's a little beyond our thing. But there's a notion of the concept of Torah, the essential. You know, Ma Hashem Elokecha Dairish Meimach. And then there's the details. And when we do have to separate them in how we approach this
Didn't
question.
Didn't Maral say so? I can't remember where, but I think it's around the time to grow out of. You can't give it to the family. It's not for individuals, but to an ummah. So
this is going to be part of what he's going to be saying over here. They had to wait for Israel.
According to what you're saying, what would the Torah be like if the nations would have accepted it? Hashem came to Bnei Yisrael later. First he came to Yishmael, right? What would it be the same Torah as we have? Or the Torah would have been different? Like for the Torah for the Malachim would not have been the same Torah as we have received.
It's an excellent question and a difficult question. And I think to some degree it relates to the very interesting thing which in the Gemara it says about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Yishmael and to Esav, and he said, "Do you want the Torah?" And they said, "Maksivba." And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use? He said, "It says Leisignoiv. It says Leisirtzach. Don't steal. Don't commit murder. You don't have to accept the Torah to have those. Those are Sheva mitzvahs. Those are mitzvahs which were incumbent on them before." right? And they rejected it because they were rejecting it. So people ask, what do you mean? They're turning that down? That they didn't have a choice about. That applied to the whole world. There are different mahalchim to that question. But it seems, on some level, that even the Torah, as given to Yishmael and to Esav, would have been like what we call sometimes a ger taishav. In other words, a lower level of the development of the neshama, to start with at least. Ramchal writes, no, the door was wide open to them. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready, there didn't have to be one am, there could have been multiples that would have been able to take it. Yesh v'yesh. The what ifs in this issue are like so difficult to, you know, to pin down. I don't know. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
You're saying the Torah is for the Yidden, and so we sort of had to wait because the Yidden are the ones who are shaykh. But what about the rest of the world? Do they have a first argument about shleimus and connection and all that? Is there
not the same shleimus? No,
but
not the same shleimus.
They have their own. They have some kind of connection.
Some kind of connection. They HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a neshama into everybody. He blew a neshama into everybody, and while there are those who say that that somehow when there was the Bechir of Am Yisrael, so then that changed, but by and large most say no, that the Tzelem Elikim remained for everybody, because that's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. It says Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, right? And then it says Chaviv in Yisrael. The man is precious because he's created with the Tzelem Elikim. The Jewish people are precious because we're called Banim LaMakom, we're called Hashem's children because Hashem gave us the Torah, right? But Tzelem Elikim seems to belong to everybody. If you have a Tzelem Elikim, you have a special connection. You have a special connection. But the qualitative difference between Bonim Lamokim and not Bonim Lamokim, children of Hashem and not children of Hashem, the qualitative difference between having the Torah, which is a live connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not, makes it that on some level, as the Gemara says, Atem Kruyim Adam. The real title Adam only goes to us. Only goes to us. So it's an incomparable connection. Absolutely incomparable connection. That's what we said last night when we ended Shabbos. Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol ben Or l'chayshech ben Yisrael l'amim. As you go outside now, it's different than you went outside last night at 12 o'clock midnight, right? Bright versus darkness, that's the difference between Yisrael and the Amim. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. There's some connection. There's moonlight at night too.
Sort of proofs last week about why you need Torah conceptually to connect and whatever, that would only be realized with Yidden.
Correct. That was the only opportunity which was afforded to the Jewish people. No one else was given that privilege, and it waited a long time. Okay, so let's go on here to see it. So the first thing that the Maral says in order to be able to explain why it waits is he says, of course it waits to develop. Why does it wait to develop? Because the tachlis always comes last. Seif maaseh b'machshava tchila. Right? The idea, the purpose is always there in the end. Let's look at man. Nobody has a question here that man is the tachlis habriya. Man was the last thing that Hashem created, that is explicitly created during the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. Right? On the sixth day, after he did the first phase creating the behemoths, then he created man. Man was last. Man was what it was all about. He put everything into man's hands. Says the Maral, so is it any wonder that it actually takes the Jewish people the longest to emerge as a nation? The Shiva Mumais existed already before the Jewish people. And as the Maral goes to pains to say, even Ammon and Moab and Yishmael and Edom, which are the splinters that broke off from Avram Avinu's family, they also were already full-blown nations, lifnei melach melech, lifnei Yisrael, before the Jewish people emerged as a nation. Why? Because if Klal Yisrael is the tachlis, so it emerges last, like Adam emerges last. They emerge last as a nation. If you remember, several weeks ago, maybe it's already a couple of months ago because of the Yontif, when we didn't have our Sundays, but in Perek Yud Beis, the Maharal explained this beautifully, that you have to have your chaymer, you have to have all the raw matter before the tzura comes and shapes it, right? And the idea of the Jewish people isn't just, okay, you're the surprise guests. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the whole world into their hands, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like he put the whole world into Adam's hands. Right? He's creating Adam and he's going to rule over it. Gas Hayam and Aif HaShamayim and Behemah V'chol Aretz. Right? Everything is his. He's going to be what forms it, what shapes it, what gives it its direction. What gives it its direction and its purpose. So, of course, everything exists. And now, steps in man, the Tzura comes last. The shaping, the forming comes last. So Yisrael emerges. They emerge when there's already all these other nations, and they're the new nation on the world stage. They're the last ones to arrive, and they're going to be the ones who are going to take the world, grant it, you know, its reality and its direction. So you're going to have to wait for Klal Yisrael to emerge on the scene. But now let's look at the specific Chazal. Maral brings. There's no parak of the Maral where we don't go to a specific. The Maral doesn't go to a specific Gemara or Medrash, and breathe life into it. So here, those who use the edition we're using, the Hartman edition, the Medrash which he brings is a Medrash on page Reis Samach Aleph. In his edition, it's from Shmais Rabbi, and it's on the pasuk that we said this morning, that we say every morning. If we're on time, Magid Dvarav LiYakov Chukav Mishvatav LiYisrael, right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells His word to Yaakov, His laws and His rules to the Jewish people. LeAsachem LeChalgayim Mishvatim Ayin. He didn't do it for everybody else. Says the Medrash, three steps. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. Moshe LeMelech Shoyel LePardei Snoa. There was a king who had a beautiful orchard. VaYonaitei Kol Minei Ilanis, and he had all kinds of trees in there. VaLoHaya Nechnas Adam LeSeichai Elohu Shoyel Meshamrei. He was the only one allowed in there. This was his precious garden. Nobody went in. He tended it himself. Mishamdu banav al pirkan. When his children matured, when they developed, Amar lahem, he said, Bini, banai, hapardes hazeh ani hayisi mishamrei. I used to safeguard this orchard myself. And I didn't let anybody else. Lainachti ladam lichnais bai. Achshav, now, today you are a man. Atem tiu mishamrei maisai. Now you can watch it. Keder shani yisi mishamrei, like I did. I created the Torah before I even created the world. Again, brings whatever sources for that. I didn't let any of the nations into it. Elul Yisrael, only to the Jewish people. Okay, now, remember, as we alluded to before and we've discussed before, what does this sound like? You hear about a garden that Hashem planted? There is one. It's called Gan Eden. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He didn't let anybody go in there, right? He put angels, right? The Kruvim with the Lat HaCher HaMis HaPeches, with these flaming, turning swords, right? That stopped anybody from coming in to watch the way to the Eitz HaChayim. And then what did he do? He gave the Torah to the Jewish people, which is called the Eitz HaChayim. Eitz HaChayim Hilam HaZikim, right? So he's letting us in. That's the metaphor. Right away was given to them. That's why in Chazal it's full of references that at Har Sinai, what were we restored to? To Adam Arishon Kaidem Achet, to Gan Eden. Right, we became immortal again. Ani Amarti Elohim Atem. Right. This is it. Now again, we have it in the incremental version of learning, you know, bits of Torah and hopefully growing back there. Continues the Medrash. He gave them a little bit. To Adam he gave 6 mitzvahs. To Noach he gave 7 mitzvahs. To Avram he gave 8 mitzvahs. To Yaakov he gave 9 mitzvahs. Right now Avram added Mila. Yaakov added added whatchamacallit, Yaakov added the Ginanosha, right? Noach had seven. Adam Rishon didn't have Eber Menachai because Adam Rishon wasn't allowed to eat any meat, right? So the seventh mitzvah, the way we have it, was given to Noach. Aval Yisrael Nosan HaKoel. To Jewish people, he gave everything. Okay, so that's the orchard only for the Jewish people. That's one. Stage one of the Medrash. Stage two of the Medrash. Amar Rav Simon B'Shem Rav Chanina. Moshe Mel Shefan of Shulchan Aruch. There was a king who had a beautifully laden table. Nichnas Avdoi. So when his servant came in, Nosan Lechaticha, he threw him a piece of food. He gave him a piece of food, I should say. Shani, next one, Nosan Lechbe, he gave him an egg. Shlishi, Nosan Lecharach, he gave him a chves, a pulke. Right? V'chein L'chol Echad V'yechad. And so to each one. Nichnas Benoi, his son came in. Nosan Lechol Shulchan Aruch. He says, come. Take. Whatever you want. Right? I'm not giving you a little piece. Go to your corner. Take. Come sit at the table. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Eilav. So the king said, La'ilu nasati mana mana. Aval ata hakol nasati b'shuscha. To them I gave little pieces. You, it's all yours. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'en aslam rak miktas mitzvah suksh. Amar Yisrael nasam kol ha-tayra. To them he gave a little bit, little pieces. To the Jewish people he gave them the whole Torah. That's what Ezechen Choyim Shvat Ma'idon. Then Rabbi Lozer says, I want to tell you a different thing. There was a melech who went out to war, and the legionis, his legions, were with him. Vayeshechet behema, and he was shechting a behema. Vayemachalkam chol echav echad, kedei sheyagia. Right? Each person was given a portion. Bo benoi v'omer ma'ata nisim li. His son says, what are you giving me? Amar loy mimashi skanti la'atzmi. Oh, you? I prepared stuff for myself. I prepared stuff for myself. That's for us. That's for us. Right? Them, I'm giving them some, you know, peace. You is for myself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, same way, he gave to the Goyim mitzvahs gelumais, sheyigu behen. He gave them vague mitzvahs. Gelumais is like from the term goylem, right? We talked about it, I think, last week, right? Goylem, or just plain, right? Sheyigu behen. V'lo hifresh behen bein tuma l'tara. He didn't distinguish between what's tame, what's tar. V'lo Yisrael, pirshalem, it's a kolachas v'achas ein shomat mischara. So the Jewish people came and explained each mitzvah. It's punishment, it's reward, it's benefits, it's tumah v'tara. It's Yishakeni Menashikais Piyu. Three stages in the Medrash. And as always, we have to understand what are these three stages? What's the significance? What is each one doing? The first stage of the Medrash, he says, Hashem has this paradise. Hashem has this special orchard. And he only lets the Jewish people, he only lets his children, his child, come in to have it. Only Klal Yisrael can have the Torah. That's establishing the first given. What's the idea that only Klal Yisrael can have the Torah? There's so many ways, of course, so many aspects, so many ways this can be explained, so many aspects to this. And we've already learned aspects to it. But here, the Maral chooses to focus on one specific aspect. And it's the aspect of not letting anybody come in except his child. His child. Avodov, his servants, others, only his child. And what he says is like this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, is Mechuyev HaMetzias. There has to be a Rabbanu Shalom. Right? There's nothing without the Rabbanu Shalom. The Torah is Mechuyev HaMetzias. Torah isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? What should I let them eat? Should I let them eat brisket and make pork chops off limits? Or should I let them eat pork chops and make brisket off limits? Maybe I'll do it this way. Right? The Torah is Mechuyev HaMetzias. The Torah is what it is because of real truths, real realities. Whatever we saw before in the Chavetz Halvavos, with it, notwithstanding, right? The Torah is realities. It's realities. It's Mechuyev HaMetzius. It's necessarily so. Klal Yisrael is also Mechuyev HaMetzius. Klal Yisrael also has to be. There's no way without it. When a person has a child, they have the child because they want to have the child. When they have a servant, they have the servant because they want to have the servant, or because they need something for themselves, and the servant is going to be the tool to be able to make it happen. Klal Yisrael has the status of bonim. You know, you may recall, emphasis on the word may, because this is a long time ago. This goes back a few years. In the Be'er HaGoyla, the Maral, in the section where he spoke about in the Be'er HaShlishi, where he spoke about how Chazal will take psukim and seem to read into the psukim like things that aren't there, right? That's at first glance. So Maral says, no, they always read into psukim things that are there. They uncover layers that are there, right? So an example which he brought was the Haftira of Parshas Ekev, where it says, "V'atayim etziyan azavani Hashem, Hashem shechani." Tziyan says, "Hashem has left me, Hashem has forgotten me," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hatishkach isha ula, will a woman forget her infant? Mirachem ben bitna, to care about her child, gam eila tishkachna." These could be forgotten. And I wouldn't forget you. In other words, it's unlikely that a woman would forget her child. Could you imagine? Right? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. A woman who loses a child carries that with her. Every moment, every day of her life. Even if those would be forgotten, I couldn't forget you. So what he's going on, and we're not going to get into all the details of the thing, but right, Chazal say, "Gam eile tishkachna." Eile is eile lehecha Yisrael, the egel. But anoichi Hashem alekecha, which was mamar sinai leishkachech, I won't forget. Right, so like, come on, you know, just because this says the word eile and that says the word eile, right, like what's going on? So the Maral explains elaborately there, just the idea, which we're just going to say here, you know, concisely, and not every beautiful element and piece of how he works it into the parsha and explains the Chazal. But he says, you know, when something is your essence, when your being to some degree is contingent upon this thing, you can't put it aside. You can't put it aside, right? If the woman has a child, it's hard for imagine her forgetting about it, right? But you know, even if you could imagine that she would forget about that child, well, maybe she has another one. Maybe she has a life of her own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I don't have that." You understand? I have completely and totally invested my world in Klal Yisrael. Absolutely. Mechuyav HaMetzius. What was the sefer that we learned before this called? It was called Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of the Jewish people. Netzach Gam Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker. It has to be. There can't be a world without Klal Yisrael, because a world without Klal Yisrael would be an impossibility, because it would translate into a world without. It can't be. You think I can forget you? You know, you have a fling. You get something, you get involved in, right? We get into fad one day, right? I need a skateboard. I can't live without it. I can't live without it. Right? And 2 weeks later, it's sitting in the corner of the garage. Right? It's a fling. Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a fling. Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, invested his essence, certainly as much as it exists in this world, to us. So there's no world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why not the world
without Klal Yisrael?
Only
huh?
Why not the world only you?
Kol Eila Nivru B'Sham Shaini. So that's they stood there. And he said, there are supporting actors. There are those who have this role of being, creating the context within which the Bnei Yisrael will do it. When the Edom say, we built all these merchatzois, these bathhouses, and these plumbing systems, and these roads, and these bridges, and everything, it makes it possible. It makes it possible. There's a world that surrounds us. There's a world that surrounds us that makes us able to develop and to do things. But that's true. That's exactly right, Avi. Those, okay. So you're doing it today, and then the Persian Empire can disappear, and another one will take over and occupy prominence. And the Mamluks can go, and the Ottomans can come, and nobody even remembers who they are. Because L'shem Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Maral, he couldn't even give the Torah to the Malachim, because what's a Malach? A Malach is a messenger. A messenger, by definition, is not a purpose. A messenger is a means to an end. Klal Yisrael are bonim. They're children. They're the child. They're the focus. A ben is not for anything else. A ben is for the ben. A ben is for the ben. So therefore, only when you get to the one who it's all about, does it fit the Torah, which is the Rabban Hashem, which it's all about. Here, it's a way of looking at this. It's a way of looking at this. Rabban Hashem is absolute reality. Torah is absolute reality. It can't connect to a nation that isn't absolute reality. A nation whose reality is flimsy and passing, how can they connect to the Torah, which is absolute reality? That's why the Maral says it can only be Israel. It could only be Israel. That's what the Medrash says. I keep the rest of them out of my garden. And Eden, eternity. You can't have flimsy passing things walking through the garden of eternity. It doesn't work. It's a mismatch. That says the Maral is step one. Right, that's why Gam Eile Tishkachna Vanechi Leishkachech, just that little knetch, that little twist. Right, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha was the moment of connection where it became bored into the souls of the Jewish people. I am Hashem, your God. You know, that's why it's written in Kadmonim that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is the only one. There's a debate whether it's even a mitzvah, right? Is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha a mitzvah? I am Hashem, your God. It's not a mitzvah. Don't serve other gods, that's a mitzvah. Keep Shabbos, that's a mitzvah. Don't kill, that's a mitzvah. I am Hashem, your God, is a statement. Right? So we count it as a mitzvah, because we say it's belief in Hashem. But why is it made as a statement? Because Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is a statement. It's a fact. It's an inescapable fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the Jewish people. Right? You might have choices that sometimes you might go, a person, a Jew might go and serve somebody else, but it won't take away the fact of I'm yours. That's permanence. That's absolute. That's the eternal permanence of Klal Yisrael. That's Netzach Yisrael in a word. Eile Elokecha Yisrael, when the Jewish people went and they worshipped the Egel, that can be forgotten. That was a whim. That was the Jewish people asking for a skateboard. It comes and it goes. Eile Elokecha Yisrael, meh. That's not a lasting definition of who the Jewish people are, of their connection. Okay, so that's it. Yes.
According to what you're saying, I think it comes out beautiful why Torah had to wait for Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. Because at Har Sinai they became one. Lasa B'nishma, they became one. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And the Torah is one. Yisrael, which were the horizon of Chagu.
Kafta V'Ferach.
At that point, they were Roy to be Mishakad with Eivish to Tovah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. And you'll see what Maral's not going to say it in those words. That's a beautiful formulation of it. But what he's going to say when he's going to talk about the klal aspect is mamish fitting, mamish well understood with that. Beautiful. Second stage of the Medrash, which Maral deals with very, very quickly, Rav Simon says, okay, here I'm giving you, he has a big, remember the king has a big laden table, and he says, okay, you want to come? Right? So somebody comes, he says, here, take a piece. You take a piece. His son comes, he says, come and sit down. Sit down and join me at the table. Says the Maral. He says, look, he gives the mitzvahs, l'fi madrega sa'adam, according to the level of the person. There might be something which is shayach to them. But to the Jewish people, open access. Right? The totality of Torah is shayach to them. You know, there's a beautiful thing that the Ramchal says, Taich, translation of a pasuk, very unique translation of a pasuk. The pasuk, when Hashem comes to defend, so to speak, or to speak about who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Remember, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to separate from his wives? You know, they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. So there, at the end of Parshas Vayischa, Hashem comes and he tells them no. He tells them, there we have Ikorei HaEmuna, that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is qualitatively different than everybody else's. And there are many elements to what Hashem says. But he says, after describing the other Nevi'im, he says, Loichein Avdi Moshe, Moshe is not that way. My servant Moshe is not that way. B'chol Beisi Nemonhu. In all my house, he is Nemon, he is faithful. How do you translate that pasuk? So conventional translation
is...
I'm not sure what you mean.
He is, like he's the only one.
He's the only one who is trusted. Meaning, of all my bias, right? When you speak about your bias, you speak about your family, your staff, right? Of all my family, he is the Neman. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most trustworthy, right? What do we say yesterday in Shacharis? Ki eved Neman charosla. You called him a trusted servant. Right? Amongst all my house, he is trusted. Ramchal says, no. He translated much more literally, and it's a beautiful translation. Exactly right. Exactly right. You know, we have janitors here in the shul. We have a janitor here in the shul. He has a whole bunch of keys. He has a whole bunch of keys, right? He has keys to every area where he has to work, where we rely on him, where we trust him. He has a key to where the detergents are kept. No, we can't give him a key. He has to have a key to where the detergents are kept. You know, that's going to be his thing. He has a key to this part, to that part. He doesn't have a key to the business office because we don't trust him in that realm. We give him a polka. We give him an egg. Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chol beisi nemanu. He has the run of the place. He has the master key. He can go anywhere. Right? Ramchal says, every other Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a piece of information the way they need it. Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes and gets what he wants. Anything which is there in the Das Hashem, that's his. B'chol beisi nemanu. In a sense, that's the distinction which this second stage of the Medrash is saying. There's something which they need for their shleimus. There's something which they need for their shleimus. They're not going to have the full-blown Selem Elokim, the full-blown godliness that would give them everything that Hashem, so to speak, has as His truths and His Torah. They'll have pieces according to where they are. Give them a Yerech, give them a Beitza, give them a Chaticha. The Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come sit at the table. Whatever you want. Every aspect of godliness is yours. Yeah.
I just want to clarify the thing. So the taich is that I trust you with the whole house?
Yeah.
Okay. As opposed
in
to
the whole house, I trust
in
you.
In the house, I trust you with the whole house.
The whole house. Bechol Beisi, the whole house. And then that's what the Ramchal says in the Derech Hashem. Get stuck in there. It's such a beautiful, simple pshat in the pasuk.
How do we avoid the accusation of elitism?
We don't. We embrace it. No, what you see, Ben. What we do is we have one great escape of elitism. We have one great escape, and that is that anybody in the entire world, who says you know something, that's where it's at. The door's open to them. And if we give them a hard time, we only give them a hard time because we want to make sure that they're not coming because they like lox and cream cheese. We want to make sure that they're coming because they like God and they like Torah. Right? So we have we give them a hard time. We want to see that they're really after the truth. Right? But it's open to everybody. And when it's open to everybody, it's not elitism. It's not elitism. It's like saying, you know, if Harvard only admits people who are white with Protestant sounding last names, then they're elite, right? But if Harvard only admits people who score well and understand science and mathematics and English and humanities and so on and so forth, but it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, whether you're black, whether you're Chinese, whatever it is, but is that elitist? In a certain way it is. Of course it's elitist. you'll say Harvard is the same as Towson? It's not the same thing, right? But on the other hand, it's an elitism which is a meritocracy. You have the right. It's welcome. It's open to you. And the delicious thing, though, is that when you go and you'll work and you'll make $1 million, right, on the stock market, right, you'll give it over to your kids, right? Now, the kids might squander it. You might, too, right? But when you make that choice and you join HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give that over to your kids, too. Avraham Avinu made the choice. And look what happened. Look what happened. That's why we're here, right? Other people have made that choice subsequently, generations past Avraham Avinu, and they're also here. They're also here. That's not elitism. That's a different kind of elitism. It's not an elite. It's like the elitism of Harvard, as opposed to the elitism of Harvard in the 20s. Harvard today, as opposed to Harvard in the 20s.
The country clubs.
Right. Stage 3 is mitzvahs gelumais. Is that when he says the third one was he gave them just pieces, and to us he says, "Oh, you have what I have already cooked, what I have prepared for myself." Says Ramchal, that third opinion says, "No. Don't just tell me that to the nations of the world he gave a few mitzvahs, and to us he gave everything, whatever we would want. Even when he gave it to the Musa Olam, he gave it to them very generally." Very unrefined. There isn't the full seichel, the full refinement, the full development of how it is, of how it works. That's not there. To Klal Yisrael, le'asachem l'chogayim mishpatim val yedom, magidvorav li'akev, chukov mishpatav li'Yisrael. You know, Sheva Mitzvahs, plain, you know? For us, it's so much more intricate. I tell you, just we're not finishing here. But I'm looking at the time. We should be finishing, but we're not finishing. Mm-hmm. But this piece of the Maral to me needs biur. It needs a little bit of biur. I'll tell you why. By itself, it makes sense to me. But there's one Gemara which the Maral seems to ignore, and it should be noted that he doesn't discuss it, as far as I know. And I know this because I looked at the index, anywhere in the Tiferes Yisrael. And he doesn't discuss this Gemara either in the Nesiv HaTaira, the other place, which is his major essay on Taira. He brings it, it's not like the Gemara didn't know the Gemara, he brings it over there, but he brings it for a completely different piece. The Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, when it speaks about Goyim and Taira, and it brings this thing about Goyim not learning Taira, so the Gemara says, but there's a chazal which says that a guy who learns Torah is ahead of a Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because it says, Yikara Himi Pninim, whatever the drush is. It's even greater than the guy than the Kohen Gadol going into. From here we learn, right? And that's what how the Maral brings in the Sivat Torah, which is that the Yichus. And the so to speak, like just the natural, the outside shell which the person has as the Kohen Gadol doing the action, doesn't compare to the seichel, to the thing of the Torah. I asked the Gemara, one second, I thought a guy's not allowed to learn Torah. So I say, even a guy who learns Torah, says the Gemara, in their Sheva Mitzvahs. In their Sheva Mitzvahs. When they learn the Torah of their Sheva Mitzvahs, that they're allowed to learn. The Torah of their Sheva Mitzvahs, so then that's above and beyond. Now, that sounds like they would have really their Torah of their Sheva Mitzvahs. That they have that possibility. I mean, if they're getting it galumais, they're not getting it with clarity, they're just getting like a very general, vague Sheva Mitzvahs, would that be beyond the Kohen Gadol who goes lufnai v'lifnim? It doesn't strike me that the Gemara says that. But on the other hand, have you ever heard of the possibility of a guy learning Bava Kamma? I mean, besides the Romans who were doing it to see what we said, but when Hashem gave them the Sheva Mitzvahs, He gave them the details of what Geneva means. Did He give it to them like that? So I think that's where the Maral is coming from. There's a person who wrote a book His name is Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, but he's not the more famous Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. He's the less famous Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. Mm-hmm. There's a Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein who's a brilliant Goyen Olam who is the son-in-law of Rabbi Mechaim Chaim, Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in Gush Etzion in Eretz Yisrael, who's a mind of incredible proportions, big Talmud Chacham, and a very, very special, humble person. But there's another Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, who I don't know, who's also probably a wonderful person, who wrote a book called The Seven Laws of Noah. And the book is really a rendition of a fascinating story where there was a priest who wanted, it happened many years before, and he just sort of recorded it, put it together. There was a priest who wanted to become a Jew. He realized the truth that he wanted to become a Jew. So what happened was, the rabbi who he met said to him, "Why do you have to become a Jew? Become a guy who does what he's supposed to do, who does the Shabbat mitzvah. Sometimes become a Ger Taishu instead of becoming a full Jew." That was the tact. So what does that mean? So he went on to show him that those Shabbat mitzvahs, you know, it sounds like seven mitzvahs. It sounds, you know, like nothing. He says, but if you look at it, included in the seven mitzvahs are some 240. I don't remember the number. Right, some 200 and something of the Taryag mitzvahs. That to say we have 613 and they have 7 is actually a misnomer. We have 613 and they have 250, because so many of those other mitzvahs are actually snifim to leisinaf. Right, you can't commit adultery. Well, excuse me, that's not you can't. That's wrong. That's one of the series of the prohibition against arayas. Arayas, I should express it that way. Arayas is one of the shavim mitzvahs. How many of the Targum mitzvahs are about forbidden relationships? Well, you have dozens. I mean, not dozens. You have maybe 20 mitzvahs of what's considered forbidden relationships. So it's seven mitzvahs. You got 20 right there, right? How many mitzvahs are involved in the prohibition of avodah zarah? Right? Even just in the second commandment, there are 4, I think. Right? So, and there are so many other places in the Torah where it says it. So don't worry, it's not 7. You won't have as much time on your hands as you think. So that's 100%. So that's exactly the point, which I'm trying to say. In a certain sense, that approach reflects that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. A guy who's involved in, you know, he can also mamish, it can turn into something huge and big. But Chazal consistently called it the seven mitzvahs. They consistently called it the seven mitzvahs. In other words, yeah, when it came to the Jewish people, we divided that Isra of Arayas into 20. We made it intricate, delicate, nuances, bells, whistles. So the guy was Arayas. It was much simpler. I think that's a perspective where the morale has come from, where this piece of the matter has come from. They got it straight. How he understands that Gemara and Avodah Zarah about them being like the Kohen Gadol who goes l'fnai v'l'fnim, I'm not sure, because I don't know where he speaks about it. I don't know. Maybe there's someplace else. I'll have to look. Huh? Yeah.
I guess what's the comparison to the Kohen Gadol of Nair with me?
Yeah.
That if the Goy learns and gets involved in the seven mitzvahs, the panemius of those seven mitzvahs, the Nair with me, not just of the Ketanius,
right,
seven mitzvahs, then he is bigger than a Kohen Gadol that goes with Nair with me.
Right.
He has that opportunity to be lifted of them in those seven mitzvahs.
Yes, I think that's the way. But Maral is saying they can't have that. Maral is saying no. Hashem gave it to the Jewish people with an echus, with a quality. He says it's not just comes with an echus that they can't have. But that sounds like what they have. If they want, they can access it. Mm-hmm. If they want, they can access it. So it could be that Hashem didn't give it to them, but if they pursue it, they'll get it. It could be. It could be that that's the way he says it. I'm sorry. I don't want to continue because we're talking at the end of our time, so we'll have to divide this parak up into two pieces. Yirtzeh Hashem will be mamshich. We will continue and conclude next time.
So in a safer, like somebody.